ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Smoke Show with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner of the Ring of Fire Barbecue in Sullivan on ESPN 107.3.
Hey, welcome to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 in beautiful Rolla, Missouri. I am your host, the pitmaster, Lyle Quast, owner and operator of Ring of Fire Barbecue and Food Truck Catering in Sullivan. As usual, in the studio, my co-host and producer is Colin Fisher. You can join us every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. right here on Mid-Mo's ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com to listen to any of our previous shows. You can also find the podcasts on Blog Talk, TuneIn, or iTunes. And, you know, as always, if you got something you'd like to add, just give us a call. Our number is 573-364-1045 or text us at 573-BBQ-BBQ-9. And you can also connect with us on Twitter at Mid-Mo Smoke Show. That's all, I guess, one word. So this first segment of the Mid-Mo Smoke Show is brought to you by Peterson Oil and Asphalt, filling family-owned and filling propane in Sullivan and surrounding areas since 1934. And as always, working with Peterson is a blast. And anybody who's running out of propane this morning is going to be chilly.
Yeah, you know, I've got an idea for a bit of a slogan for Peterson Oil. And if they're listening, you can have this one. It's a freebie. You know what they say? No propane, no gain. In heat, that is.
That's it. That's it, exactly. This morning, you will know if you run out of propane.
Oh, yeah.
And it won't take long. And this morning, I want to give a shout-out to the ladies over there at the ZX station there in Sullivan on the South Service Road. They are doing a food drive for the mission. If you bring in a can of food or some kind of food item or give a monetary donation, you're entered into a drawing for a cooler. And this cooler is loaded with beer. Come in handy at Thanksgiving. You know, you get the cooler, you get the beer, and plus there's a chair that goes along with it. So go down there, see them, give a donation, and they darn sure will appreciate it, and everybody at the mission will, too.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, Thanksgiving is such an interesting time, and, you know, oftentimes associated with Thanksgiving is Black Friday, which I'm not a tremendous fan of.
Me neither.
It's kind of a morose show of kind of gluttonous greed in America. And nowadays, there are a lot of stores that are having early Black Friday sales. Like, so it's coming even before Thanksgiving. So we're not even going to get to the part where we're thankful for what we have before we go out and get more. But I totally understand it from the standpoint of the stores trying to promote and get business, and that's all fine and well. I just wish it didn't come after the day that we pretend to be grateful.
Well, you know, that's like you going to stores, and before Halloween was over, Thanksgiving was already out.
Well, I haven't even seen Thanksgiving. It's all Christmas already.
Yeah, and now it's gone straight to Christmas,
yeah,
you know.
But
I went to one Black Friday deal, and I swore I would never do it again, and I haven't done it. Almost got into a fight with this woman because she didn't want to go look for what we had, but she wanted what was in our cart.
Oh, man. I've had, yeah, that's one of those things. People either try to buy it off you or sell you theirs or something like that. But anyway, so with Thanksgiving, aside from the holiday shopping season, it's usually, for most people, a time to gather with your family, people you maybe don't get to see that often, family, friends, and you get to come together and have a lot of really great food. And chances are there's some family recipe, you know, grandma's stuffing or something like that, but there are some that they don't get to enjoy that, and either just the money's not right or for whatever reason, they don't get to have the big Thanksgiving dinner. So when you go to places that are collecting food like this and doing food drives, you get to contribute to someone else's experience and enjoying that kind of American tradition.
Well, we also got a guest in the studio with us this morning. I don't know if he's awake yet. We may have to get a squirt gun and shoot him a few times.
Yeah.
But, Colin, you want to introduce him?
Well, you guys heard from him a couple of weeks ago. He's our newest Mid-Mo team member, and I don't know if he wants to have a radio pseudonym or not, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll have a radio pseudonym. My name's Thomas Maples.
Tommy Thunder.
Tommy Thunder. I was thinking when Matt mispronounced my name as Thomas Mayberry, I was thinking about going with that because I look a little like Opie, apparently.
I was thinking Barney.
Barney? Barney Fife? Thomas Fife, yeah, I like it.
We'll come up with one for you.
Okay.
Give us a little time. Colin and I'll put our hands together.
Oh, yeah. And, see, that was one part. Shout out to Frank Cox over at Smoker Builder. He just had a knack for coming up with nicknames. He refused to call anyone by their name. That's how Matt became the mayor, and everybody just had to be called something else.
Well, I mean, my daughter's the one that came up with my nickname, you know, the Pitmaster.
Mm-hmm.
Because it wasn't, you know, it started out as a joke, and then it leaned towards a little bit of meanness because I was the master.
Oh, of course.
So, but I mean, I kept it. It's a lot of fun. And I don't know, Colin, have you got one?
Matt occasionally calls me the cameraman because I've done a couple of our, you know, commercial shoots or something like that. But a lot of people just call me Fish.
Fish?
Yeah.
That'll work.
Well, it was funny because my brother and I, he's a little bit younger than I am, but we played on a rec baseball team one year, and he was Little Fish, and my dad was a coach, so he was Big Fish, so I was just like Medium Fish.
That's kind of like having a guppy and a...
When I was wrestling, yeah. Ninth grade wrestling, they called me Fish, and it wasn't really that great of a nickname. It
yeah.
was more because I was new, and all I'd do is get out there and flop around on the mat. I couldn't be pinned. I was great at bridging.
Oh, yeah.
But they called me Fish, yeah.
Nice. Oh, Lord. Well, like I said, you know what? You go outside this morning, it's nippy.
Yeah, see.
But you can still barbecue.
Right. You got to be strategic about it because depending on your grill, a lot of them will have different types of insulation. And
right.
You can build them especially for this type of weather so that they're going to really maintain that heat. But what you notice is you really can't check your meat that often because as soon as you open the lid, you let some of this winter air in, you're done. Like it'll take you 20 minutes to get back up to temp.
Well, mine takes forever to get up to 10.
Right.
Because mine is solid steel. Ooh. And, you know, at 17 degrees to get it up to 250, it takes a little bit of wood.
Yeah. I remember stories of people, they would, you know, throw a blanket or a sleeping bag over their cooker. Yeah, just...
I melted a sleeping bag to my cooker one time. Temperature spiked, and I didn't notice it. And
oh, man, that reminds me. My dad was... he dropped me off at school, and so it was real early in the morning, and we had the seat heaters going in the car, and it went up to, like, level 6. And that was... Well, and so you can do it, that, and that'll heat it up real quick, and then you bring it down to, like, 2 or 3, where the human temperatures... Well, it hadn't heated up yet, but I got out of the car, forgot to turn it off, and just left it at 6. Well, then he got his golf bag and put it in the passenger seat and melted the bag. The seats got so hot.
Oh, man, talk about toast in your buns.
Yeah, for real.
It shouldn't get that hot.
No, it really shouldn't.
Shouldn't get that hot.
Yeah, those Germans are nuts. But
yeah, but you got to figure, they drive 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn, so, you know, what do you expect?
Yeah, but, so, yeah, like we said, it's obviously getting cold, but you can still go out and grill, and I imagine, you know, a smoker would be a good way to stay warm.
Yeah.
And... For me, it's less about the temperature, but every time I've wanted to go out, I went to Walmart, I've got myself a rack of Smithfield ribs, I found the Traeger Grills recipe for the 3-2-1 style, I got everything, and I'm really wanting to try these ribs from scratch, but every time I've got, you know, 6 hours to spare, it's just slushy, and
yeah.
There's a little bit of rain coming down, and it's just, awful.
Well, that's what I like about mine, you know, when it does get up to temperature and it's real cold... You can just lay your hands on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's, that feels good.
Yeah.
I was thinking today is the day that if I was to be smoking, I'd be out there hugging my smoker.
Mm-hmm.
It's that cold.
You should hug it anyhow.
Oh, you yeah. should. You should.
The smoker and the smoky.
Yeah. And I learned the hard way to make sure if there's rain in the forecast to bring your pellets in.
They will expand, won't
yeah,
they?
Yeah. It's really interesting.
Well, we got a heck of a show today. In the next segment... We are going to be talking to, we're going to be playing our interview from the Royal with Stephanie Wilson.
Yeah, back when it was now I'm looking back at that day, I was like, I could use some temperatures
yeah.
like that for a minute.
When it was 100 degrees in the
yeah.
shade.
Oh, yeah. And, if you could find it.
she has a pretty extensive resume with the Food Network.
Yeah, she's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Interviewee, but I suppose I will warn some people. She's
a little rough.
She's, I don't know how to say it. She's not, you know, crass or rude or anything like that, but she's, she'll say some things that'll kind of make you do a double take. So
yeah.
If you got your, like, great granny listening with you, maybe turn it off for the next second.
Right now might
like
be the time to spike granny's cocoa or whatever, you know. She'll go with it then. And then after that, Rich and Bunny are calling in, and they are in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to them earlier this morning, and it's actually warmer in Colorado than it is here.
Well, you figure they're up higher, they're closer to the sun.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
The air's a little thinner.
Yep.
But we're going to talk. We're going to talk to them, and they're going to have the president of the it's the Colorado Barbecue Society, and she's going to let us know what's going on around there. And unfortunately, I don't think there's a whole lot going on right now with the KCBS.
Sure, but it'll be interesting to see if Rich and Bunny have a moment. I'm kind of interested just from the logistics side of things, what they do in the off season, because I imagine they're already planning for the next Royal, for all the next competitions. That probably this might be the time to do some CBJ classes,
right?
Get your judges certified, that kind of thing. And you know, we keep saying that we're gonna try to get one going on down here. We gotta
get it done. I mean, the bad part is you gotta have time.
Yeah,
and maybe after the first of the year we can get something organized and our listeners can get into it, because I think it'd be a great thing. Everybody gets certified.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, people have said I am that way, but
I think it'd be kind of cool if we could get a Midmost Smoke Show sub-certificate or something. Like,
right.
Yes, I'm a CBJ Smoke Show class or Smoke Show edition.
Well, you know what we need to do is talk to the owner of our station here, Colin.
Yep.
And to sponsor us and go out and do some competitions, and we can broadcast from there. You know, or do something like that, and get our name out there too. I think between the two of us, we could do all right. We'd tear up them backyard competitions.
Yeah, we certainly have to start there.
Yes,
I'll help you guys out by eating it.
Okay, you can be our.
you guys can teach me
quality
control. You
guys
can teach me while I just, you know, make, yeah, it's quality control.
There you go.
Sure, it's good.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and coming up in segment two is our interview with Stephanie Wilson from the Royal. So make sure you stay tuned to ESPN 107.3. You're listening to the Midmost Smoke Show. I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. It's the Midmost Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I am starving. I haven't had lunch since yesterday.
Hey, welcome back to the Midmost Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3. This segment is brought to you by Huddle House in Cuba, home of the Huddle Up Rewards Program. So huddle up and hurry into your Cuba Huddle House today, any meal, any time. And
today,
I bet some warm biscuits and gravy would be nice right now.
Yeah, today it's more like bundle up and hurry in.
All right, well, we are in our segment now where we went to the Royal in Kansas City and got lucky enough to get a bunch of the cooks and teams up there to come and do interviews with us. So today it's going to be Stephanie Wilson, and she's had a lot of success on the Food Channel, Barbecue Pit Masters and all that. So listen to her interview and see what you think.
Hey, welcome back.
And we have Miss Stephanie Wilson from the Slabs.com cooking team has joined us. And anybody who watches Chopped or watch the Barbecue Pit Masters grilling show should recognize her, because she took it all the way down to the wire on the Chop show. And so, Stephanie, welcome, and thank you for doing this for
us. Well, Lyle, thanks for having me, man. It's a good time out here at the American Royal 2018. It's hotter than a firecracker, but we have cool beverages and some cool jams. I think we're going to be okay.
There you go.
You're sitting in the sun. You're making me nervous.
Oh, I can render down. I got a few pounds to lose.
As do I, my friend.
Well, Stephanie, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody else.
How did you get interested in barbecuing, and what got you into competitions?
Basically, what happened is my Aunt Bunny and Uncle Rich, K-Cast Barbecue, shout out. They have a good sauce. Anyway, they were competing in barbecue competitions, and they're like, come on out, you know, come on hang out. So I was like, okay. And my brother, Tom, and my cousin, Josh, we all kind of went and hung out and had beverages and such. And then my brother and my cousin, Tom and Josh, they decided to start a barbecue team. And the way they decided to start it was to enter the 1996 American Royal Barbecue. Go big or go home.
Oh, wow.
And they ended up getting a sixth-place call and chicken. And that was it, you know, hook, line, sinker. And I was the party coordinator for a couple years. And then after the 1997 American Royal, my brother asked me to join the team and help them cook. And I was super excited. And however, in January of 1998, my brother passed away from cardiomyopathy. And we were all, you know, heartbroken. And obviously, my cousin wasn't really, you know, digging the vibe. I asked my bestie and buddy, Kyle Laval, who would come to all the parties, if he would come and help me carry on my brother's name. And the tradition that he wanted to, you know, he wanted to do barbecue. And
right.
I just wanted to keep it on and keep the smoke rolling, man. And it was Tom and Josh's Orgasmic Slabs. And then we came out with some rubs and sauces in 2004. And we decided to change the name to make it a little more family friendly.
Well, yeah. Well, it all depends on how you look at it.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If you look at the statistics, the HPBA had the statistics show that women are the ones that purchase the meat, purchase everything.
Right.
For the man, I don't understand this, but for the man to cook the meal if it's out on the grill. So, if you have something with breasts and, you know, something like that, women are not apt to purchase that. If it's something that's, you know, women aren't apt to purchase that.
Right.
I'm a woman. I'm not purchasing that. You know, I have breasts. I see them every day. It doesn't mean I'm going to go and buy something just because someone's got it. You know, their bottle hanging in the middle of them.
Right.
I'm not going to do that. I'm about quality and not quantity. So that is a statistic. It's statistically known. So you want to make sure that you're family oriented, because the women make the majority of the decisions as far as what the meals are. And what's being purchased.
Well, and that is true.
It is true. It's statistically known.
I mean, I do all my purchasing for myself because I know what I'm wanting for meat and stuff like that. But anything else, yeah, you're right. My wife does the purchases. So, okay, so you got started in this, been cooking the Royal ever since?
Actually, this is our 23rd year.
Oh, wow.
23rd year at the American Royal.
Well, it seems like just an awesome place to be. And
the American Royal is its own beast. It's its own animal. It had more nostalgia. It had more history when it was down in the bottoms.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it go back now that Hy-Vee's purchased the arena. It's a Hy-Vee arena, so maybe hopefully things will go back there. That'd be nice. Not going to lie.
And it's warm here. All this asphalt and everything is warm.
Well, I mean, there's asphalt down there, too. But
I think there's a better breeze, though.
Well, could be.
I don't know. Or maybe it's just a little more hot air.
I think I'm just breathing a lot of hot air right now.
So, let you know, I'm going to ask you like I ask everybody else. We've got a lot of people that are starting out, and they have a bad case of nerves and fears about cooking competition and stuff like that. What would your advice be to them? I mean, I know you guys jumped right in at the Royal, but...
Yeah, that was my brother and my cousin. They were young, they're, you know, just have money. They didn't care. My advice would be to hang out with some people. Go around, you know, get don't be a pain in the butt. I mean, but introduce yourself to people. Go, you know, and try to say, hey, you know, I'll come wash dishes, or, you know, I'll give you $50 to go towards meat or beer or whatever and wash dishes. You know, I'd like to, you know, see what's going on. Stand back, wash dishes, what have you. I keep saying wash dishes because that's the one thing I can't stand. and learn and see exactly what's involved. Because some people do it, they don't have a freaking clue. And next thing you know, they're freaking out because it's like, oh my God, you know, you got to stay up all night, you got to do this, you got to do that. I mean, how's that meat going to get cooked?
Right.
Hello?
And it does, it scares people then, too.
Well, and it should. It really isn't that hard.
No.
I mean, it isn't. Well, I say
that. The
hardest
part is
no
sleep.
I mean, if it was that hard. Well, not necessarily, you know, this day and age. I mean, you have the barbecue gurus. Hey, shout out Bub Trudnack. BBQGuru.com. You know, I mean, there's numerous things that that help alleviate that. You have Jambos. Hey, Jamie Gear. Shout out. You know, they're very well insulated. You know, you've got the Humphrey Smokers.
Right.
Very well insulated. Shout out, Chad Humphreys. There's so many. It has come so far from the beginning when it was just a little bullet, man. You know what I mean? It's just come so far.
Yeah, when people, you start with the Webers and little Webers and stuff like that.
My mom actually was smoking meat when smoking meat wasn't cool, bro. Back in like the 70s and 80s.
Right.
She was smoking meat on a little Brinkman bullet.
No kid.
Yeah. Right on the front porch, man. Smoking rump roast.
Who'd have thought the barbecue would have evolved the way it did? You know.
Gary Wells.
And just made.
Hey, toast to Gary Wells. One of the founders of the Kansas City Barbecue Society. Rest in peace, GW.
And the prize money that they're offering now is just phenomenal.
It is.
You know, and like some people say, they make a living doing this.
They do. Actually, Rod Gray. Shout out Rod Gray, my MBFF. He, pelletenvy.com. He does make a living off this.
Yes, he does. And he's an awesome man. He's so easy to talk to. He's so full of helpful
advice.
He's
so full of something.
Well, I wasn't going there, but, you know. But, you know, the blessing that Colin and I had this weekend is we found so many new friends. We've seen people that we had known before and talked to.
Sure.
But we have made so many friends. And when we come in last night, we wanted to set up our interviews. And there wasn't one turned us down.
You True.
Know, because, you know, when we explained what it's all about and why we're here and what we're doing, they just thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
Well, it is. It's fantastic to try to get barbecue to go to the next level. However, you know, I mean, you just got to keep pushing, brother. I mean.
And we are.
Yeah.
We got a live show that we do, and this is what's going to be. It's going to be on the show. And Colin here did our, where people are listening to us. We found out we're even being heard in Mozambique, Africa.
Really?
Yes.
Right on.
Vietnam, England, you know, the European countries, Canada.
Right on. You ought to invest in a tent.
We have one.
Okay.
But it was being used.
Ah.
So, we figured we could rough it. Since you guys are roughing it, we could too.
I'm roughing it under a tent, man.
But
it's a hot motor scooter, bro.
It is. And but you know what? This has been so much fun.
It is fun.
And I cannot thank our guests enough that have been on the show, including you. And Stephanie, I tell you, I was telling your Aunt Bunny, I feel like I know you after watching you on Chopped. You have no idea how much I pulled for you. I still got them recorded.
Do you?
Yes.
Right on the DVR?
Yep.
The DVR. That's for my son, Brent Merson. He can't stand it when I say, oh, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram. It's the in front of everything. It's like, oh, Mom. But, you know, the thing is, Chopped was a good time. I mean, what an opportunity. What a blast.
Yes.
What an experience.
You did a great showing for the state of Missouri.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, I'm just trying to rep Kansas City, KC816. And it was the main thing that I told myself before I went, because it happened very quickly. They contacted me.
Yeah.
They were asking people, somebody else that could possibly be on the show, that had been on there prior, and they asked numerous people. Good luck, buddy. They asked numerous people. It's my buddy Mark Greco, 4 Men and a Pig, barbecue sauce, get you some, and shout out. And they suggested me. And they contacted me, and I was, you know, they like emailed me, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that's funny, you know. And then they're like, no, and they're like, we're gonna call you from this number in a minute, you know. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they did. I was like, oh, okay. And it turned out to be true. So basically, they contacted me February 12th, and I flew out March 11th.
Wow.
That's how quick it went. And you know, I mean, heck of a good time. I was just like, poo. So my deal was, You do you. You be you. Don't do some persona crud and, you know, do all that stuff. Be yourself. Do the best that you can. And just have a good time with it, because this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I got to meet three other people, you know, that we got to experience right. it together, Kansas City. And, man, it was just so great.
Well, you were so calm and cool on there.
Well, you know, I'm calm and cool every day, Lyle.
Okay.
I'm joking. My deal was is that in the very beginning, I was sitting and I started going to town. You know, I got my knife and I'm like, duh, 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 and I'm like, I almost cut myself. And the one thing I didn't want to do is cut myself. Like, I don't want to be that person. And I was like, so then I just dropped my knife and I let go of her and I'm just standing there and I just start breathing in through the nose, out through the mouth. And my camera guy's like, Steph, are you okay? I'm like, just breathing, brother. I need to settle down. I need to focus. And I just in through the nose, out through the mouth three times. I'm like, let's get her done. And I just started going.
Well, have you got classic training, classical chef training?
I have by the seat of my pants training.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, some of the dishes you came
I'm
up with.
I'm starting classes next November, if anybody wants to sign up.
Well, you did very well. I'm very proud of you for, and nothing personal, but you know, you went in there and showed Texas and the rest of them.
Yeah, that's right. See, look, Texas, Tennessee, North Carolina, Kansas City. It's a city. They need a whole state to try to bring this train down, bro.
There you go.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Even though I love all you people out there in North Carolina, Texas, and Tennessee. You know who I'm talking to.
Okay, well, I want to thank Stephanie so much for coming by and visiting with us and giving us a little insight in her cooking career. And we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a little bit.
Mid-Mo Smoke Show. Expert advice on becoming the best barbecue cook or fabricator you know on ESPN 107.3.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. I'm your host, Lyle Quast. And right now we're coming up with our segment of what's going on in the BBQ Society. This is sponsored by Cowtown USA in Cuba. Your next UTV or ATV is only one click away at CowtownUSAInc.com. And it is our segment now where we have our roving reporters, Uncle Rich and Aunt Bunny. And I think they're up there in that chilly northern state of Colorado this morning. Good morning, people.
Good morning. Good morning. We have got a beautiful, beautiful day. It's actually warmer than it is where you are. We're starting out 29 degrees, and I heard you were 17 degrees. But it is so beautiful up here, and Rich and I came up to go to the Rocky Mountain Barbecue Association banquet. And I have with me right here, right now, I've got Kim Purdy, who is the Rocky Mountain Barbecue Society president. And I'm going to let her talk to you this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing?
I'm a little jet lagged, but I'm okay.
Well, I thought you lived there in Colorado.
I do, but I was away on business for the week, and I didn't get in until about 11 o'clock last night.
Oh, boy. So tell us about the Rocky Mountain Barbecue Society. Is that connected to the KCBS, or how does that work?
Yes, it's an arm of KCBS, and it's one of the larger segments that's under KCBS, and it encompasses the whole Rocky Mountain area. So anywhere from Montana, Wyoming, we have teams from South Dakota, Oklahoma, Nevada, Colorado, New Mexico, Kansas. So it encompasses a wide range of states.
Yeah, it sure does. How in the world did Oklahoma get into the Rocky Mountain states?
Well, because we have teams that join the Rocky Mountain Barbecue Association, and that's where they hail from, is Oklahoma.
Kind of sounds backwards. You've got the Kansas City Barbecue Society, and within that is the entire Rocky Mountains.
Yeah.
Well, they also have one in California. There's an association in Florida. There's one on the East Coast. So there's about six or seven different ones underneath KCBS.
And Rich and I are definitely Rocky Mountain Barbecue members. We have been for years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you should become a member now.
Oh, I do that in my spare time.
What's your spare time?
You know, I think the only people I know in barbecue busier than me is you and Rich.
Well, I don't know. Kim runs a lot of cup events up here, and if she'd explain that a little bit, it'd be kind of cool, you know, because they have big cup events up here.
Yeah, we have. We're shooting for 30 this year. We had 28 last year, and they're in the various different states. And what Rocky Mountain does for an event that is having a barbecue competition is we make sure that they get teams, enough teams to fill whatever they need. And so within Rocky Mountain, teams can get points in our organization as well as KCBS points. So today at our banquet is a culmination of all the – everybody gets points all summer long for the cup events that they participate in. And today we're giving away over $8,500 worth of prize money.
Wow.
Can you explain to us what a cup event is?
It's an event that's run by Rocky Mountain Barbecue Association, and we kind of help the organizers. My job as president is to help the organizers with whatever they need, whether it's they need, the boxes to put for the teams to put their food in. I contact them about 2 months ahead of time, then a month ahead of time, then 2 weeks out, a week out, and then the week before I'm their right-hand person. So if they need anything, they just call me. And I'm kind of in a unique position because I started out as a competition cook. Then I was an organizer for a couple years. And now I'm the head cook on my team. And I help the organizers. So I have a little bit different perspective than a lot of past presidents do.
When I first met Kim, I love the team, name of her team. It's called the Lost Weekend Grill. I love that. And we instantly became friends. She's one of my best friends now.
We chose that name because our weekends are always lost to barbecue.
Well, do you do a lot of competitions through the year, Kim? Is it, you know, kind of like KCBS where there's one every weekend, or how does that work?
I do about 16 is what I average. I also run in my own business, so
okay.
I don't have as much time as I'd like to compete. Plus, it's expensive.
Yes.
So it's, you know, I usually run between 14 to 16 events in a year.
Well, that's not too bad.
No, it's a lot. I didn't get just as many this year for comp purposes, but I did try and go to ones even if I didn't compete.
Well, okay. So since you're tied in with the KCBS and stuff like that, do your winners get to go down to Little Rock, Arkansas in February for the World Championships?
I believe that a couple teams, I believe Travis Clark is going. He's from Clark Crew Barbecue. And I believe that Bob Stanfield from South Dakota, his team is called BS Barbecue Outlaws. And I believe those are two of our teams that are going. I'm not sure who else is going from this area yet.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know how that all works. And, I mean, there's so many different organizations out there, you know, that have a barbecue competition. So, well, do you guys cook all year round up there? I mean, that's probably a silly question with all the snow.
Actually, my first event is the second weekend in January at the Western Stock Show in Denver. And we average anywhere from -6 to +6 degrees.
And that's outside?
Yes, sir.
See,
I remember one time seeing a picture of them where they blew the snow away and it was over the cooker's head. I mean, that's how deep the snow was up here.
Yeah, I remember.
Separates the women from the girls.
Yeah, I went on a ski vacation in Colorado over winter break, so Christmas time, and we didn't set alarms for the time to get up. We just set it for the temperature. We were like, once it's over zero, we'll get out of bed.
Well, and up in the mountains, you could stay in bed for a few days.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, that's amazing to think that you guys are out there cooking in that kind of temperature. And, you know, I complain when it's like 20 degrees here and I got to fire up the smoker. That's spring weather to you guys.
Yeah, 20 degrees here in January is pretty good weather. And actually, because we're up a mile high, the sun actually feels warmer. Because I'm from the East Coast originally, and it amazed me when I first moved out here that 20-degree weather could feel like a nice day here.
So I wonder, with you guys being at that higher altitude, how does that affect the way you go about your cooking? Is that more time, less time? What sort of does it have an impact?
It does. It usually takes more time the higher up in altitude you go because the less oxygen you have.
Mm.
I remember one time Rod Gray from Pellet Envy came up here, and he got really frustrated because he couldn't keep his fire going because there wasn't as much oxygen. We were about 10,000 feet up in Frisco. Wasn't that about 10,000?
Yeah.
And he just couldn't keep anything going. He got really frustrated.
Well, that and if you're not thinking about it, you know, how do you counteract that when you're not thinking? I guess carry oxygen tanks with you or something. I don't know.
Yeah, blow them off. That'd be great.
Well, okay, now when you guys do your competitions up there, is it the same four meat categories? You know, brisket, yes. Ribs, pork, and chicken?
Yes, sir, it is.
They still follow the KCBS rules because they're affiliated with KCBS.
Okay. Now, I got to ask, do they do these dessert categories up there?
Sometimes. It depends on the comp. It doesn't seem like ancillaries are as popular as they used to be when I first started competing, because I used to do dessert all the time when my husband was the comp cook before I started doing it, and I would kick butt in dessert.
But oh my gosh, you should see some of her desserts that she'd die for.
Well, I'll tell you.
Go ahead.
I've seen some of them at that Royal there. They sure made my mouth water.
Yeah, and you got to make them look good because we all eat with our eyes before we ever eat with our mouths.
That's exactly it. Well, I want to thank you, Kim, for coming on and, you know, kind of informing some, you know, our listeners that there is another area that can cook out there, you know, and I never expected. Huh?
These guys are awesome.
Well, I would like to maybe make a trip up there one time and go up there and cook with them. I'd probably get my butt kicked, but I'd still come up there and have a lot of fun.
Well, you know, I'm a woman-run team, so we try and have a good time, though.
Oh, man, you're not supposed to be this way, but I have a thing about women kicking my butt in competition.
I hate to tell you this, but Kim would probably kick your butt.
Yeah, it'd probably make me like it, too. But I want to thank you, Kim, for coming on. I really do appreciate it. And Rich and Bunny, thank you for hooking us up so that we can visit with her and find out. And try to stay a little bit warm up there. I know you're having the banquet and everything. So
it's beautiful up here right now. I'm just wearing my hat and my little jacket. That's it.
Ooh.
It's warmer here because there's not as much humidity, so it's nice.
Well, I think it's because we've got so much hot air in this state that we're used to staying warm all the time.
You're just full of hot air, Lyle.
I am that. That's true.
Yeah, so, it's going to be 55 here today, so, and then snow tomorrow. That's Colorado for you.
Our high is supposed to be 37 today.
Oh, no, thank you. I'll keep 55.
Yeah, you want to ship that down to me? I got to cook tomorrow. It'll help me a little bit.
I'll bring you some, Lyle.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Did Rich wake up this morning? We haven't heard from him.
I'm here.
Oh, okay. We were getting a little bit worried, you know.
No, I'm just taking it all in.
Oh, okay.
Got to reach over, check his pulse every now and then.
Yes.
Good shot.
All right.
He's wearing his redneck lipstick shirt.
Do what?
He's wearing his redneck lipstick shirt. You know what that is, don't you?
No.
When you eat a rib, what do you get around your mouth?
Oh, okay. Barbecue sauce.
That's right.
Yeah, buddy. I got to remember that redneck lipstick. So,
that's right.
All right, guys, we're going to have to take a break. So I really appreciate you coming on. And Rich and Buddy, be safe coming home. And thank you, Kim.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
You too. All right, we're going to take another break. Make sure you don't go anywhere because when we get back, Colin is going to have our recipe of the week. You're listening to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 or online at ESPN1073.com. And I'm Lyle Quast, and we'll be right back.
Now, the Mid-Mo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3.
I will take a free breakfast buffet anytime, anyplace.
Hey, welcome back to the Mid-Mo Smoke Show. I'm your host, Lyle Quast, and this segment of our show is being brought to you by Wind Supply in Rolla. offering the best prices and selection on Traeger pellet cookers and Milwaukee tools and yummy tummy barbecue sauce. That's Wind Supply of Rolla, located on Twitty Drive in Rolla. And it's time for our recipe of the week, brought to you by Timber Charcoal, making outstanding hardwood lump charcoal for over 40 years and available at Cox Brothers in St. James. And
so today I've got a couple of options for you, and we could do one or both. So I do have, since we talked to a star of Chopped today, anyone who watches Chopped knows that they usually get a basket of four ingredients, and they're usually something that's meant to be kind of odd or challenging. So I have found sort of a bizarre grill recipe, but I thought it would be kind of fun if we tried to come up with a recipe in sort of the style of Chopped. So I've written down four ingredients here.
Okay.
Pork, jalapenos, Worcestershire, and Yummy Tummy Inferno. And so the pork is however you want it. Ribs, shoulder, ground. And so, Lyle, off the top of your head, what do you think you'd do with that?
I would make a mix of pork with maybe, you know, they got other ingredients that you can
sure,
use.
Yeah. That's just what you got to have.
And then I would wrap it in bacon, make a meatloaf, and top it with Yummy Tummy at the end. And I can't think of anything better.
That actually sounds awesome. So anybody who's feeling rather adventurous this weekend, get yourself some ground pork, some jalapenos, throw in some Worcestershire, and get your hands on some Yummy Tummy Inferno if you can. And that'd make that'd be a really good, you know, spicy pork meatloaf. But so that we have something to throw up on the webpage, and you guys can go and get these recipes at ESPN1073.com/MidMoSmokeShow. We've got tons of recipes that you can go back through, see our past ones, and they're usually, we try to find something fairly interesting. We've found some Japanese-inspired ones. So we did the American equivalent of bangers and mash. We've done all sorts of stuff like that. And
we've had a lot of fun doing it, too.
Yeah. And so this is something that reminds me of when we did The Spectator with the Midmost Sports Show, which you can hear every Monday from 4 to 6 p.m. right here on ESPN 107.3 or ESPN1073.com. But this, I think, is something that I want Matt to try. It's jalapeno popper dogs.
Okay.
And I'm looking at it, and it's a hot dog wrapped in jalapeno and then, you know, just served on a bun. And it appears to be maybe stuffed with cheese or something like that.
Would that be good, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, looking at
with
the
me,
picture,
anything,
it's good.
Anything with jalapenos, I'm in.
Yeah, especially when you got Matt Glenn behind it. So you're going to have 12 extra large jalapenos, 8 slices of American cheese, 4 thin hot dogs halved lengthwise, 4 hot dog buns, and then mustard for serving. You'll heat the grill to high, slice the tops off of the jalapenos, then cut off the bottoms where it starts to narrow using a paring knife, dig out the seeds and ribs of each pepper to form a hollow tube. Break the cheese into rectangles the same width as the hot dog. Place a few pieces on a halved hot dog, then place the other half of the hot dog on top to reform the hot dog with cheese in the center. Now, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
Stuff the hot dogs into the jalapeno tubes. Depending on how big the jalapenos are, you should be able to put 2 or 3 around each hot dog. Then grill, charring the jalapenos on all sides and warming the hot dogs, but remove from the heat before too much cheese spills out. Then serve on the hot dog buns with mustard.
And watch out, because when you take a bite in there, that hot cheese, it's going to stick to your lip, your tongue, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be so good.
Yeah, and see, I think if, you know, we had Matt Glenn do up the jalapeno poppers a little bit.
Yeah.
The way he does them. Oh. And I bet you could kind of experiment around with that cheese and mix up some kind of cheese sauce like you would those jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, I believe so.
Something like that. But that'd be another interesting one, like a collab between the sports show and the smoke show, because that sounds like a great, you know, man food segment for Justin.
A baseball segment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, while we got a little bit of time left, I wanted to take this time and thank Josh from Yummy Tummy Barbecue. He sent us some T-shirts so that we could start wearing them around. And if you want to go to and get these T-shirts, they are awesome. They are cute as a button. Well, not cute, I guess is the right word. But the material they're work made out of is so right for winter, for summertime. They're breathable.
I think it's Sport Tech is the material.
I think so, great design on the logos and stuff. Go to yummytummy.com.
They've also got some really good-looking hats in here.
And check it out. You know, Josh won't mind if you want to buy a T-shirt to go along with that bottle of sauce, you know.
And I'm not sure if it applies to the T-shirts, but if you go in and use the code MIDMO, you get 10% off of your order. So they've got four T-shirt designs here, and it is they've got the pig, the Inferno, and then they've got the Reaper, which is coming soon, and that'll... Oh, I'm so excited for that Reaper. But, you know, the T-shirt looks great. You got hats, and, of course, you can buy your sauce on there. And like we said, use the code MIDMO, and you get 10% off of your order online.
There you go. And so I want to thank Josh. I really do appreciate it. And we're still working on recipes to get going. One day we're going to all collaborate and have a yummy tummy recipe cookbook. So,
yeah. It'll definitely be interesting. So, as supposed to sort of recap the episode, it's getting kind of cold, so go and get your propane from Peterson Oil and Asphalt.
Right.
And if you can, try to get out there, because the temperature's pretty low, but it is a nice day. The skies are nice and clear. So if you can stay warm, you know, this is the kind of day that I'd love to just bundle up, sit on the porch, and smoke. And
well, you know that old saying, I can put on enough clothes to stay warm. Yep. I can't take off enough to stay cool.
Yeah, my dad, he texted me during the show that he had moved the smoker into the garage to do his pork shoulder today.
There you go.
Yeah. So
just make sure if you're doing that, you got proper ventilation.
Of course, yeah. Keep the door open because it'll smell real good and then not so good. And yeah, you'll run into some problems. So, Thomas, how are you liking the smoke show so far?
I'm feeling a lot more comfortable with it. I get hungry every time. That's the only downside, but it's also kind of a plus.
You got to have breakfast before you
get here.
For sure.
You get here.
All I had was five cups of coffee or something like that. That's it.
Yeah. So thank you, Thomas, for coming in. We want to thank Ms. Purdy for coming on and talking with us, and thank Stephanie Wilson for her interview back in September at the American Royal. We thank you guys for listening in to the Midmo Smoke Show. You can hear it every week. It is produced in the Mid-Missouri Media Studios and designed and engineered by yours truly, Colin Fisher. And keep it tuned to ESPN 107.3.
You've been listening to the Midmo Smoke Show on ESPN 107.3 with expert advice from the pitmaster, Lyle Quast. Saturdays from 9 till 10 a.m. on ESPN 107.3.